Hello, you wonderful woman. Welcome to the Love is Coming podcast. I'm your host, Persia Lawson, one of the UK's most successful love coaches, according to the Times magazine, and author of the book, Love is Coming. It's my mission through this podcast to help single women, specifically female leaders, get powerful, soul-expanding relationships that revolutionize your growth, impact, and happiness during your time on planet Earth. Let's get straight to it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Love is Coming Live, which is later going to become an episode of my top three ranked podcast, Love is Coming. So for anyone who is on this Zoom with us now, if you don't know me, I'm Persia Lawson. I'm a dating and relationship coach and three-time author, and I specialize in getting career-focused women healthy, exciting, meaningful relationships that are a force for good, not drama. So this is really exciting because this is a brand new segment of the show that we are trying out today. And in this segment, I'm going to be joined by incredible guest experts who our live audience here on Zoom are going to get the opportunity to ask questions to directly. And I really could not be more thrilled that this first ever session of this new segment is with my insanely talented, magical, mystical, beautiful friend, Cherub Sanson. And we're going to be talking all about how to master your vibration to magnetize healthy, pure love. So if you are looking to manifest yourself a quality man or woman, you are in the right place. So let me tell you a little bit more about Cherub before we hear from the woman herself. So Cherub is a leading sound artist, teacher, and protectress of high frequency. She is the founder of Sister Sound Circle, a global sonic support network for women, and Cherubella, her very own brand of healing instruments. So for over a decade, Cherub has been supremely dedicated to sharing the transformational powers of sound, forging the path for many aspiring sound healers of her generation to join her in this mission to tune up our collective frequency and hold the vision strong to birth a beautiful new earth. And I am so honored that Cherub is a dear friend of mine. And the time I've known her, she's had a profound impact on me. She really has. So Cherub, welcome to Love is Coming Live. How are you doing, my unicorn friend?
Wow, thank you. What an intro. You can feel that the mutual love and respect we have between each other is through the roof. When you introduced yourself so casually as, I'm Persia, I'm a dating and love coach and a three-time author, you just threw that out there, a three-time author. I mean, can we get a little shout out for how amazing that is? So there's mutual respect for you across as well. And it is amazing to be joining you here today with all of these amazing women, and to be speaking across the airways in the future to anybody who feels the passion to be able to start to truly magnetize from the heart. So thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be talking about something other than just straight up sound. This is the first time it's ever been done. Someone's finally asked me to share my level of expertise beyond the realm of sound and apply it to a new concept. And today we're talking about love. So I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so you've already seen from her, like her energy. It's just what I needed because I have been feeling quite run down today. I've had quite a lot on, and my husband's sick and I was sick and all that jazz, and I was like, I don't need to worry, I just need to sit on the sofa for a few hours. I'm speaking to Cherub later. She is gonna like zhuzh me up, rev me up, sprinkle some mad energy over me, which is already what I'm feeling. So I'm just so thrilled for you, whether you're tuning in live right now on Zoom or, as Cherub said, you're listening later on the podcast. It's not real anyways. I don't really understand time. It's kind of all happening at once, apparently. I heard someone say that, a physicist or someone said that, didn't they?
So Einstein.
That was it.
That's the one. Time is nature's way of stopping everything from happening all at once.
Wow. Very profound. I love it. Okay, so our beautiful live audience, just so you know what to expect, Cherub and I are going to chat for a bit. I've got some good questions to ask her. And then you are going to get the opportunity to ask Cherub some questions directly. So get thinking, jot those questions down. Some will definitely come up as we move through this, because we are incredibly lucky to have this time with her and it's going to fly by. And I just want to say this. Now, this may not be a thing for you. We may have people who are like, yes, I've got questions, going to dive in. I am all about, and I think you can probably tell that Cherub is too, like, we are on this planet for such a short time. Don't be shy, like, just be bold. This is a safe space. If you have things, if you have questions, if you have things you want to share later on, don't hold back, because you will hit yourself, beat yourself up, whatever the expression is later on, okay? So be bold. This is your opportunity to do so. Okay, so Cherub, where I want to start with you. So you really are one of the most special women I know, not just because you are a sound and sensational sound healer. You're incredibly successful at what you do, but really it is primarily for me just who you are. It is honestly a privilege to call you a friend. So for a bit of context, I first met Cherub at our mutual friend Jody Shields. It was her hen, and you were leading a sound healing. And this is where the beautiful magic and synchronicity of our friendship has immersed. So the building that I met Cherub in was white. It was what's it called? The BBC building.
White City House.
Yeah, well, it's next to White City House, the old BBC building, which is now turned into apartments. And our friend Jodie has a place there. She was living there with her then fiancé, Paul, now husband. My parents have just this year, moved into that building. So a few weeks ago, Cherub and I ended up doing a very impromptu sort of sound healing experience together with my parents, who Cherub has met. My parents are absolutely obsessed with her, in this very room that we met this time 5 years ago. And I was so lucky to get to do some singing alongside Cherub's beautiful sound healing. So I feel like we've come very full circle, haven't we?
We have, and that circling and spiraling will continue to evolve and grow up into the astral plane forevermore.
I love it. So given that you are the queen of sound and vibration, I'm the queen of love, if I don't say so myself. I don't know if you will have ever, I've been thought about this or been asked this before, but I'm interested to know, how did your journey of sound / vibration and love, dating, relationships intersect? Because I bet in some way they did. Does that make sense? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, no one's ever asked me that before. So I'm loving how I'm just going to intuitively answer this as best I can. I think it all boils down to the more time you spend starting to really get to grips with the vibratory nature of all things. So the more time you spend playing gongs, singing, humming, drumming, tuning forks, the more time you spend in that healing high frequency sound, naturally it starts to attune you to a higher awareness of what is going on. So you've got this bird's eye, eagle's view over every aspect of your life. So you can almost take that step back and begin to really come from a place of higher intelligence, because you are literally, well, for me, I, you know, spent the last decade curled up inside a gong, and in the Cherubella Tone Temple, as you can see here, as you can imagine, there's healing high frequency happening here at every angle. So it can't not start to help me to get into vibrational alignment with the true version of myself. And that is available to everybody. But of course, we're being bludgeoned every time we leave the house with all these different varying frequencies and different denser energies and vibrations, that it's just this roller coaster of emotion every day. The more time you spend getting the whole of the universe exists in this constant sea of vibration, then you start to realize that the way that you respond to things, the way that you respond to people and communicate with everybody, it has this direct impact on everything else. So we are what we've been led to believe in school is these seemingly physical beings living in this separate reality. But yet, the more you understand the concept of sound healing, you realize that your mind, your consciousness, and the energy field around you is in constant communion with these unseen forces and vibrations that are existing around you at all times. So we are the visible thing of a very invisible realm that surrounds us. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
You know what it's making me think of? I never understood. There's so many questions I have for you. I never understood like what sound healing actually did until quite recently, when because I sometimes I'm like a bit of a basic bitch at times, Cherub. I need to see things. And this is like, it was just before I was actually doing a sound healing myself with a friend. And someone sent me this video on Instagram, and it was like, I don't know if it was like iron shavings or I don't know what it was. It was like a flat board with just like a mishmash of something on it. I don't know if it was soil, dirt, whatever. And then the tune, like someone played like a tuning fork on it, and then it all went into these like geometric patterns. Do you know what I mean? Have you seen the thing I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a process, a very natural process called cymatics, which is the visible representation of what happens in the water content of our bodies when we receive sound. So if you go to a sound bath, or if you're in the company of an incredible orchestra, or anywhere where pure sound is being projected at you, that is having this incredible effect on the water in your body, and it starts to make these incredible, exquisite snowflake shapes that are just the most beautiful, soothing shapes. That's what's happening. So that's, like I said, this process called cymatics. And actually, if you go back to way, way, way ages ago, when ancient civilizations used to exist and it wasn't exactly as it is now, different tribes used to sprinkle sand on the skin of their drums, and they would play the drums, and then these cymatic shapes that would pop out onto the drums when they played them would then determine the outcome for that tribe, because the elder would look at the drum and study that pattern, that cymatical pattern, and that would then shape the future of the tribe. So this is an ancient thing, and more now people are beginning to realize that this vibratory nature of everything. So to explain it to you in just a couple of minutes, what we have here is that there is this electromagnetic field of resonance that surrounds us. It's not an aura, it's a very measurable thing, and it connects us to the energy field of everything. So you know how all these spiritual conversations and memes talk about how we're all connected? It's true. We are connected to each other. We're connected to everything. So therefore, we can perceive all these subtle energies. So if you think about everything from the blood coursing through your veins to the neurons firing and wiring in your brains, everything is connected. Everything pulses, everything moves, everything breathes on this oscillating sea of vibration. So when you start to bring it into the context of what we're talking about, love, relationships, connection, the stuff that we're going to, you know, move on to shortly, how you are with yourself, what you say to yourself, what you think about yourself, what you think about others, your general vibe, your personal frequency that you're naturally emitting right now, your energy, who you are, what you're about, it speaks before you do. So that is how you connect to the rest of the world. So the more you start to understand that everything is connected, the more you start to take responsibility for your own energy system, you can then start to upgrade to those higher planes of awareness. And that's when you can start to have all traffic lights on green, everything in pure flow, being in complete vibrational alignment with yourself, with the earth, with source and energy, whatever goes beyond that for you. It's all connected. So that's when you can start to lasso in and magnetize those people that you want in your life that you truly desire to have there, because you are a vibrational match. So Persia, we have a vibrational match. That's why we get on so well. You know, we've had that incredible time in Ibiza. I was on the front row at her wedding. I had no business being there. We didn't even know each other that well. But
I was just like, you're coming to my wedding.
On the front row next to your mum. And that is that we have managed to vibrate into each other's orbits. And there is this symbiosis that has occurred between us both. So we are now completely connected. And that's why this call is happening right now. And that is what's possible for you for, you know, desiring your love match. It's about raising yourself up to this state of a higher planes of awareness. And can I just say at this point, because it's really important to get this, when I talk about higher levels of awareness and raising your vibration, I'm definitely not talking about be happy, be positive, everything's good, just be love, just think about love, up, higher, higher, higher. Don't ever go down to lower stress, anxiety. That's not what I'm saying. So please don't misconstrue that, because in the new age world, there's a lot of people saying high vibration, low vibration, and it's very easy to think that means be happy, not sad, you know, but it's a little bit more refined than that. So it's about, there's high vibration, there's low vibration, but all emotions are valid. Everything should and can be felt in order to have this deep connection with yourself. So it's all okay for you to just feel absolutely everything. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm very passionate about people not thinking they just have to be happy all the time to attract love. It's about feeling it all and letting it move through you. And that's the way that you can start to completely keep cleaning out your energy field. Feel the emotions, let them move through you, process them, and journey on forward so that you can start to attract from a higher plane of awareness. Does that make sense?
Oh my God, yes, it does. And you know what? Again, so many things are coming up as you're saying this. What you immediately made me think of is when I was going through heartbreak, so a lot of grief, a lot of pain, some might look on the outside, go, oh, she's low vibration because she's a bloody crying mess. But from that, it was such truth. And because I was feeling it so deeply, everything good in my life, predominantly my husband and the relationship we have today, came from that, what some might call a low vibration place. But it's because exactly what you said, I felt it and it cracked me open. I've never felt such depth. And so if you are in the midst of grief at the time of recording this, there is some really dark shit going on in the world in Israel, Palestine. I don't want to go into it too much right here, but I also think it's important to acknowledge it. This is not about pouring pink paint over and going, oh, we don't need to look at that shit. That's irrelevant. No, it's absolutely relevant. You know, we have to feel the pain of these things. We have to see it and we have to acknowledge it. And then we have to ask ourselves, how can we meet this with love? In every instance where there is atrocities or pain or grief or sadness, at whatever level, you know, however seemingly trivial, however like deeply harrowing and painful, it's so crucial. So I'm so glad that you brought that up there, Cherub. So important.
Yeah, it definitely, there's a whole miscommunication around it, and it is just about feeling it. That when you are feeling anxious, when you are feeling jealous, depressed, all of the feelings that love naturally brings up, you know, we've all had that conversation with a partner where we go, oh yeah, we could be in a polyamorous relationship, and you start speaking about it, but then all of a sudden you feel yourself getting jealous, and then you get annoyed with them because you feel that even just having the conversation makes things weird, and jealousy rises up, and that came from love originally. So love makes you feel all these different myriad of emotions. So feeling them is healthy. It's part of the love journey, and you know, it's all part of the rich tapestry of life. So feel it and allow yourself to process the emotions, and rather than, you know, what's that word when you block it down and you resist? Exactly, when you suppress emotions, it's none of that. It's about coming at it from a higher state of awareness, and that's the best way to be able to then start to attract pure and healthy love.
Yeah, love brings up everything unlike itself. That's the quote. I can't remember who said it. Someone very wise, but there's a brilliant quote. We'll Google it afterwards, or someone get on Google. Let us know in the comments. Be really, really grateful for that. So another thing you made me realize, just going back a little bit to what you were talking about, you said about music. And I cannot believe that this is so glaringly obvious. It's going to make me be emotional. And I was teaching this in my program, Love for Leaders, earlier. So the synchronicity, that I call it the magic module. So that program is three phases. It's heal, attract, commit, which is the same as my book, Love is Coming. And I was teaching the last module of attract. And that in the story is where I met my husband. And there was all these crazy synchronicities. Now, I happened to meet him in the valley. Cherub and me were both at Wilderness Festival this year. Cherub was running an incredible workshop. She actually ended up singing. She like did this surprise for me and Joe because it was our 8-year anniversary on the Friday since meeting in the valley at Wilderness. And she did this beautiful rendition with these gorgeous two women of our wedding song, which was just stunning. And I didn't click. I'm like, I met my husband in the middle of like a rave to the most incredible like music. It was like orchestra mixed with electronic, and it was just crazy. And then we saw the Jurassic Park theme tune was played. I won't go into the whole story now, by a full orchestra. Like, music was a huge part of our meeting. And Cherub came and ran a sound healing at our festival, mine and my husband's festival this year. And I'd never even thought of that, how, like, there's got to be something in that music actually was the reason that me and my husband even met. So for those of you who really love music, I want you just to think, like, really hold that intention for yourself, because like the music may be a really significant part of your romantic journey. What I want to ask you, Cherub, is two things. Well, I've got about five things, actually. The first thing is, have you always been like, has sound always been there? When did sound come into your life? And have you always been this, like, just ball of energy and light and positivity?
I've always been that, and I came in like that, and my mum jokes about it. I'm the only one out of three sisters that came out elbows first, and I'm like, let me out, like, just ready to start life. And so I've always had it, even as a kid, always very confident, very lucky to have had literally a Disney-esque childhood, handcrafted by the fairy godmother herself. So I owe a lot of who I am and my optimistic outlook on life, on love, because I've had this incredible childhood, which I have gratitude for every day. Fantastic role models from my dad, right all the way up to my sound partner, Tim Wheater, who's like my big brother and mentor now, and amazing friends around me. So I've always had that support, and hasn't necessarily been through any real trauma in my life. And it's so funny, like the chicken or the egg thing. A few people always say to me, well, you're only the way you are because nothing bad's ever happened to you. So that's how you can be so optimistic about love and life and everything in relationships. So yes, of course, that's true. But also, Because I have a bit of a clear slate when it comes to life experiences and trauma that can create baggage, because I don't have that, I have the opportunity to be able to see what happens when you do take the more optimistic viewpoint, if you do the work on yourself to get to that point where you can start to really connect into deeper levels of you and come from that more that place where the healed self. So yes, I've always been me, to answer that question. Always been giddy, always been a bit gypsy pixie glitzy energy, always that, but zero musical experience, zero skill in that sector whatsoever. As a child, nothing out of the ordinary there. It was traveling that did it. I was spending a lot of time. I lived in Ibiza for a bit and I was just following the party. So I lived in Ibiza for a couple of seasons, did a couple of winters in Miami, the World Music Conference, then moved to Brazil. And we literally did a tour of Brazil by clubs. Who does that? You know, forget cultures. We were looking at like Warung Club in Florianopolis, Diege Club in Sao Paulo. That's where we went. So that whole decade there was just this blur of colour and chaos. And it was only towards the end of that trip, the 20s, where I was spending time then in different cultures and immersing myself in different tribes, where sound was a really potent part of the thread that weaved the whole community together. It was only then that I realized the importance of self-generated sound and musical instruments and acoustic instruments. Then I came back to the UK 2010, and that's when my sound journey started. But it didn't come naturally to me. I had to work really hard, did loads of training, lots of practice, and yeah, 13 years on, there's this incredible sound empire. But I'm not naturally gifted. It doesn't come easy to me. I'm not necessarily a gifted musician whatsoever. I just love it. I get it. I want to be it. I want to do it. I want to do it forever. I think it's the most incredible thing that you can do in compassionate service to the whole of humanity, is to share your voice and help other people learn to express themselves and clear any blockages they have around their own voice. Because the female story, it's so loaded, it's so heavy with being silenced and suppressed, and the Western society is absolutely designed to just take the wind out of a woman's sails. So throughout our whole lives, the female story, generations past, has always been about being silenced and the whole pipe down paradigm of not being able to express yourself. So I feel very passionately about becoming an ambassador for helping women reconnect to their pure soul tone. And the more you do start to express your truth, speak, sing, open the heart by humming, by getting familiar with your own tone and your own vibrational frequency, that is when you start to get the secret of life. That's when you start to realize that you can literally vibrate things into your field just by realizing what it is you want, and then keeping yourself in the vibrational holding pattern that's going to be the same as the very thing that you're magnetizing out. You're bringing it back in and it's like, wow, match. And I truly believe in my heart that that is how divine relationships occur. It's just like that. And it's synchronistic.
It's so true. It's so true. What you were saying then about, I just got full body shivers. What you were saying then about women being silenced. I wrote my dissertation on this exact subject when I did English Lit at uni. And I've got a whole chapter in my book that I talk about this and about how we must use our voice. And then that further got, me and Joe, my husband, went and did ayahuasca in Costa Rica last year, the plant medicine ayahuasca. And the strongest thing, because I used to be an actor and a singer, and I kind of walked away from that and in many ways for a lot of reasons. But ayahuasca I've never had something so clearly said, you must sing, you must use your voice, you must sing. And I was using my voice and I was writing books, I was speaking, all of that. But I wasn't really singing anymore because there was a lot of shame and stuff mixed up with that. And I just want to put this out to any of you listening. If any of you maybe sang, or maybe it wasn't singing or speaking or something you did when you were younger, that for whatever reason, maybe you danced, whatever it is, you loved it, but for whatever reason, you just don't do that anymore. You don't make the space and the time for it. And like I didn't, it was very loaded, the reasons I wasn't doing that. My life has changed since I was given that. I only put two and two together now, but since ayahuasca gave me that very clear message last February, we knew each other, but we didn't know each other well. I was in Ibiza for our mutual friend, Luna, Lauren Baker, the artist. We were for her 40th birthday. And that was in June, beginning of June. My wedding was July and you were there. And so, look, it's crazy how when you start stepping into your calling in the way that you did. Like you said, things just start coming. Things just start magnetizing because you're vibrating at a different frequency. So you mentioned there about love. We started to segue into love. And did you notice any intersection between when you really stepped into the sound healing and you're using your voice and your romantic life?
Yeah, I think everything in my life upgraded at every angle, because it can't not, because you're constantly, even when you're performing and playing and teaching and other things where I'm constantly being immersed myself in this sound, it helped me to clean up. So I think probably one of the biggest realizations that I had connecting sound and relationships, and this is just, it's an interesting one because no one's ever asked me this before. But the main thing I think that it taught me was how to be in queen frequency. Because I think before that, I was very much in princess, unicorn, hoof stomping energy. Like, I want it my way. This just has to be my way. But then when you start to understand the way the world works, and if you just start, it comes with age, I guess, as well, but you start to evolve as a person, it being in high frequency taught me how to connect to the queen in me. So that princess energy, I evolved out of that. Because what I noticed is before spending so much time immersing myself in sacred sound, I was very much, as we all are, led by my emotions. So in relationships, I would get triggered and I would react. I'm a very passionate person. And, you know, in some ways, I'm still in that kind of child energy. So obviously, it's really fun to be around me because I'm playful and I'm giddy and silly, but then I'll still crash and I'll get overtired and I'll be hungry. And it's very much like this whole child energy is still there. So what I've learned through being around sacred sound is that princess energy is just about being led by your emotions. So it's quite fiery. And in relationships, they trigger you, you trigger them. It's just these many little detonations going off in relationships all day, every day, and not taking a step back. So by stepping into that queen frequency, it's about not letting my emotions control me anymore. I respond, I don't react straight away. So it's about getting into that femininity of feeling. And so whereas in the earlier days in relationships, before I got into sound, I would have emotional outbursts. And I'm sure you can relate to that because, you know, every now and again, it might happen. But before sound, I was very much driven by my emotions, not my intellect, not my higher awareness. Whereas now that I am a lot calmer because the sound has helped me to regulate my own immune system, balance out both hemispheres of my brain, strengthen my vagus nerve, all of the physiological benefits and neurological benefits you get from experiencing sound healing. For example, I wasn't going to speak about this, but I've got them here. I've got these two tuning forks that are tuned to C and G. And what I love about these forks, I use them every day, is when I strike them and place them like this, what's happening here is this is creating a complete neural reset in my brain. So whatever was going on, just this just chaos and emotions and stress, as soon as you receive C and the G, it's like restoring your phone back to factory settings. It's just like blank canvas. So it's little techniques like that I use that help me to regulate my own emotions. And that's how you can start to stay calm in the eye of the storm. And I think that communication and the way you react to each other and respond to each other is really obviously key when you're in relationships. So rather than having this emotionally undisciplined, just whatever emotion the environment dictates, you just feel that and then your boyfriend has to deal with that and it causes a row, you just deal with it later. It's about getting into that kind of mental fortitude as a queen and becoming this woman of great emotional strength, so that you don't just go through emotions on the daily, you actually grow through them. And that is emotional mastery. So I think that has been my best teaching from sound healing is managing and mastering my own emotions in relationships.
Oh my God, I was not expecting that. I have never heard it said like that. That was really, quite frankly, pioneering. I've heard a lot. I've interviewed a lot, spoken to a lot of people as a love coach, and I've never heard it said like that. And you know what? Since doing ayahuasca and I've committed to playing my ukulele and singing every day, and writing songs, I'm writing songs again. I used to always do that as a child. It is noticeably different how I am with Joe if I've sung, because I'm much more committed to it now than I was. But obviously, every now and then I slack off, whatever. there's a noticeable difference because I'm connecting with myself, but there's also just the using of the voice. And I'd never kind of linked them. And actually one of my things that bonds me to Joe most is he plays guitar. And so when we just sit and play and, you know, I'll sing, and it's so, it's like, especially in the modern day where all we're so addicted to these bloody crack pipe phones, you know, and to do something and play music or sing together and just do something kind of tribal, really, is really, I can't explain it. It brings a depth to our relationship that I've never experienced in other relationships. You know, it's really, really profound. I love it. Okay, so everything you just said there, I love that, talking about, and I completely relate, I'm sure many of us do, the princess energy. My nickname at university was actually Princess.
I can believe it.
I know. And one of actually my ex-boyfriend before we got together, I'll never forget this, when I told him all the, you know, the shit that had happened to me as a growing up with my parents' addiction and such, he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, I can't believe it. I always thought you were a princess who had everything, because I was so good at putting on this front that I was a princess who had everything. And it was actually not true at all. But being in the queen energy really does require you to have to work through. And listen, can I say, like, love princesses, there's absolutely a time and a place, usually Ibiza, to be in your princess energy. Exactly. But there, if you want to have, and I want to use the word, we talked about healthy relationships, a healthy and sustainable relationship, you cannot do that from a princess energy. You've got to be willing to do the work to move you from princess to queen. And that ain't fucking easy. It ain't easy. It's, in my experience, it's radical responsibility. It's, you know, facing your stuff, dealing with your stuff, but it's so worth it and it's so rewarding. So that was incredibly powerful. So one thing that I want to ask, because I always like to make this podcast and any trainings I do as sort of practical and tangible as possible. So how might one... is there any tools or, you know, even something we could do right now, or just anything that we could do on a daily basis, however small, that can help us to, I guess, step into more of that queen energy vibration?
The first thing that I think is, when it comes to specifically speaking about love and how to attract the vibration of love, bear in mind that I'm a big believer that everything is a frequency. Love itself is a frequency. And of course, love changes the way you see life, and life changes the way you see love. So it's just this beautiful figure of eight spiral dance of, like, how you've been loved before affects how you get loved again, and how you see life affects how you love. And it's just this dance. So it's about, if that's been a little bit unhealthy for you in the past because of maybe not getting enough love in childhood, or being in abusive relationships, or just, you know, looking back at your past five boyfriends and going, whoa, they were the same guy. You know, that happens when you're in this kind of, like, you're locked into those lower levels of consciousness. You can't seem to break your way through. For me, I think a really healthy way to start to attract pure love is to get to grips with the fact that it's about keeping the faith. And faith is, literally the definition of faith means believing in that which is not yet seen. So if you want love, but you're not seeing any examples of it anywhere because the perfect guy or girl hasn't shown up yet, it's really hard to accept that as a reality, that you are loved, that you can love, that you are lovable, that you are worthy. It's hard to accept it until it manifests into the physical world, but that you want to manifest it to feel like it's real for you. But it's really hard not to notice the fact that you've not got a boyfriend. Like, if you want one, it's hard to be like, no, but I am loved, I am lovable, I am loved. It's hard. But what I've learned through my 13 years of journeying through energy frequency and vibration is that the more time you spend noticing and acknowledging and speaking about the absence of it, you're focusing more on the lack of it. So it's the love that you want, not the person. So if you could just get yourself into the mindset where every day you could seek the feeling before you get the thing that gives you the feeling. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if you get secure in the vibration of it first, so even if you can't manage much of it because you're feeling quite insecure, low self-worth. If I say to you right now, well, just love yourself for God's sake. You're like, what? I can't even barely tolerate myself most days. So I'm not trying to override your genuine feelings. But if you could just spend a couple of minutes every day. And by the way, it only takes 1 minute to completely flood your entire body, your entire cellular structure from head to toe with an emotion. 1 minute. So if you could just feel love for 1 minute in a day, and that might just be, you know, dancing naked to Dolly Parton. It might be watching The Notebook, because I dare you to watch The Notebook film and not feel love. It's there. The presence of love is real. So get yourself into situations on the daily as a little love trip to yourself where you feel love. I feel love swinging on swings on my own with my feet in the sky. It makes me feel so happy. So if you can train yourself to feel the love before the person actually shows up, then the beauty of it is then you realize you don't actually need a person to be in love. You know, you could be in love with an idea. You could be in love with a memory. You could be in love with anything, you know, non-sentient being. So if you start to make the effort every day to gather love into your energy vortex, feel it, drink it in, relax into it, stretch into it, what you're then doing is you're getting into a vibrational match to the thing that you seek. You're just becoming it. Love is because you are. You know, it's not about saying, if I get love, I will feel love. You know, if I get a man, I will feel love. It's actually the opposite. It's feel love, then you get love. Do you know what I mean? So to be in love, what would it mean if you were in love? It would mean you were happy, wouldn't it? That's what it is. Like, I'm happy, I'm in love with someone and someone loves me, I'm happy. So what does being happy mean? Happy means being in alignment with source, being connected to yourself, being connected to nature, being aligned with the true you. So if you can pile and pour a little bit of love into that, AKA, really going around the houses here, but what I'm trying to say is cultivate a relationship with yourself first and then the love comes.
That is, I mean, honestly, that is, you couldn't, that's the message of my book. What was coming? I literally said, the message of my book is stop looking outside of yourself for the partner you want to get. Start looking inside of yourself for the partner you want to be. And primarily that is to you. You want to experience loving partnership and relationships, start with you, because that's every other relationship will reflect back that relationship. And just, you know, the moment before I met my husband in that valley, in that rave, in that festival, I had this moment with this incredible music where there was like electronic violins playing. And I put my hands up to the universe and I was just like, yes, yes, yes. I felt euphoric and I wasn't even on drugs, believe it or not. I really wasn't. And I felt this jolt of electricity and joy and like magic. And in that moment, I literally felt this voice say, turn around. And there he was. And I feel like the universe did that for me, because it's like, you're going to teach this. So it gave me like the best fucking story that's like, I'm not going to go into the story now, but it just so many ridiculous coincidences and synchronicities. But I'm not special. So many of my clients have had the most mad, magical love stories too. It is possible for you when you make that commitment to get into the vibration of love. And I've got a really practical tool that I've only just started doing quite recently myself in this format. And I know you're going to love it, Cherub. So I don't even know where I heard this, but oh, I know where I did. It was a brilliant woman I interviewed called Amanda Kuda. I think it's my most recent podcast episode, Love for Love is Coming. So she said, put into your phone notes, like the month. And this is what I call it. Well, I've changed it because actually we've got one of my Love for Leaders ladies on here. And she gave me the inspiration for this new word. So I originally had like love nudges and synchronicities. And I would just put the day in, and anything, like the smallest thing, saw an angel number. Someone gave me a free coffee. Like, I'm talking about the little things. And what's interesting is you start doing the little things, big shit starts showing up. And it's gratitude, but it's also magic, synchronicities. And apparently, this is what you told me, Carly, the kids are calling these shimmers. How beautiful is that? I love that. Like, these moments are called shimmers, like little shimmer, little light shimmer. How magical is that? And then you look back at the month, like I looked back at September and I just saw all of these things, and it's in the little things. So much of the time we are waiting around for the big thing. I need the big milestone to be hit. And let me tell you, and I'm sure all of us have experienced this. Listen, I'm all for a milestone, but they are always fucking anticlimactic. I told myself that, oh, you will know you've made it when you see your name on a book in Waterstones or W.H. Smith. And it was the, I mean, yeah, you know, it was all right. But I was like, oh, I kind of thought there was going to be like angels and champagne and like, you know, more. Whereas those, if when you put your focus on those, just those little daily things, the more you focus on them, the more that come along, your vibration starts to like shift. I have another thing for you that I absolutely love as well. It's a little practice I do at night. And when I remember to do it. And so literally me and my husband lie in bed and I'll say, what was the best bit of your day? We tell each other that. So immediately you scan back over your day and you're thinking of like all the good things that happened. So again, before you're going to bed, you're aligning yourself with positivity. You think of, is there anything you want to let go of? You can like omit any of these questions, but I quite like, if there was anything bad that happened, I want to let go of that. Or what, you know, you might say, what would you do differently? So there's a sort of growth opportunity. Sometimes you can ask, what would I like to dream of tonight? A lot of people aren't interested in that one, but I'm kind of like, you know what, I'd like a happy dream about unicorns or something fun tonight, please. And this is the really key one. What am I excited for tomorrow? Because I don't know if you're anything like me. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, I just immediately get the morning dread. I bet you don't, Cherub. I feel like Cherub wakes up and just sort of bounces like a Care Bear.
I don't sleep. I've never slept a wink in my life. What I will say, though, is I'd love to get in bed with you and your husband, because that sounds like the loveliest bedtime ritual ever. Count me in. I'll go in the middle.
You can come to bed with us anytime, baby. He'll be thrilled to hear that. So that's it. But you think, and then you, yeah, what am I looking forward to tomorrow? What am I excited about? And it gets you to scan through your day again, looking for the good things. Often for me, it's like just something. I'm looking forward to my morning coffee. Like, it doesn't have to be this big thing, but it means you wake up and that's sort of, you're not waking up like, ugh. You're sort of just got a slight bit more of zhuzh and positivity. Those few things, which are so basic, bitch, it's untrue. It's like spirituality 101. They've really made a noticeable difference in my life. Have you got any other little things like that, Char? We need to get these tuning forks. We're going to talk about them towards the end. But is there any other little things like sound related that we can bring into our day to help us get in the energetic vibe of love?
Yeah, and I love everything you said. I'm going to take on all of those little tips. That's the best thing about this is community, is everybody sharing. Everybody sometimes feels quite isolated and alone in love. Like, why me? It seems to be happening for everyone else and not me. But when we come together on calls like this, we realise that, wow, if we just share in our wisdom, what do you know? This is what I know. Let's share. So thank you for that. And to lead on from what you said about the morning, what I love about any kind of miracle morning work is that the momentum of your monkey mind ceases when you sleep. So every moment that you wake up in the morning, it is a new opportunity to begin again. And your brain operates at 10.5 wave cycles per second in the first 20 minutes of your morning. So it is when your brain is most susceptible to change and influence and development. So in those first 20 minutes, instead of just jumping up, scrolling Instagram, like being late, snoozing the alarm, dashing out the door, create and carve out, if you can, a little routine for yourself that is going to help to employ some of these practices that are going to help you seek love. This isn't sound related, but I've always done it. And I really do feel like it helps me to magnetize in more love to me. When I'm out there on the street, if I see, you know, I'm driving the car, I drive past a bus stop and I see a couple kissing, I get a shimmer, and I didn't know that word, but I'm going to use it. I feel what if I let myself feel that. And if I see a really old couple holding hands or a stranger opening a door for someone else, I literally notice it. I breathe it in. And you know that film About Time where they go through the day and just basically try and remember all the good moments? Mm. That is what you should do with love. So ask yourself that question. What happens when you see expressions of love in the street? Does it make you feel jealous, happy, excited, left out? Is there a yearning? Those are opportunities to say, look, love's here, love is here, love is here, love is here, look. And whereby, you know, if you are in that kind of negative headspin of like, it's never going to happen for me, I can't see it, then you're not noticing all of the expressions of love that are being manifested through other people to show you. And it can be in so many, just the simplest way. But if you just start to notice it, be aware of it, what you're actually doing then is every time you see an expression of love in your day, it's helping you to stay in vibrational alignment with the love that you seek. So that basically all you really need to do is just to find things that make you feel quite good for a couple of minutes. That's just the secret of life, because it's about how you feel. It's not about the future boyfriend. It's about aligning to the true you, and the lover will turn up. And what's good about that is if you're really focusing on doing that inner work on yourself, then what happens is you come into alignment first, and these little love bombs that you're seeing all day, every day throughout life, because they are everywhere if you just choose to seek them out. What's happening is you're starting to come into alignment with pure love, so that you're a whole, and then he's out there somewhere, or she, and that's two wholes, and then you vibrate together in pure love and you come together, and then you become a superpower. It's two whole, healed people coming together to unite and join forces, rather than trauma bonding two people that are feeling a little bit insecure in love. So it's about, yeah, that true divine union that can happen when you are in alignment with yourself and source energy.
I bloody love that. Have you read The Celestine Prophecy?
It was the first spiritual book I ever read.
Oh my God, it's my favorite. You guys, if you haven't read it, read The Celestine Prophecy. That's what I'm thinking of there, you know, where he talks about codependency. People are coming in, you know, you show up as half a person because you're not in full ownership of yourself, and you then are going to attach to another person, and then you've got this, you're like, oh, you complete me, all that bullshit. But then what's happening is you've got these two like egos, and it's a fucking mess. We've all been there. I don't need to explain it. Whereas if you complete the circle and then you join to someone else who's a complete circle, this is what happens.
Wow.
And then it's like, I've just realized that on the podcast, they're not going to see this, but you get the idea. You basically become a link, and it's like powerful and strong and amazing. So I love that. That's so powerful. I also just want to share final tip before we open up to the floor for Quezzies. When you talked about, so you can go back throughout your day and you can choose to see a couple kissing and going, oh, it's all right for them. Well, I'm just lonely. Pour me another drink. You know what I mean? Get out the bloody violins. Or you can choose to see it as, well, that shows me what's possible for me. The more love I see, the more love I'm experiencing, blah, blah, blah. My friend Lucy Sheridan, the comparison coach, is a great tip that cuts off comparison or jealousy in an instant. And I love it. So fucking simple. The minute you see something that could trigger the reaction of jealousy, you say, good for you and the same for me. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? And I do it all the time. Like, it catches me because my instinct, I don't feel like you are this cherub. I feel like you just, your immediate reaction to everything is like, like magic and like positive. Mine is not. I've got to work really fucking hard. Like, I get so jealous so easily. So I have to really have all these tools, and I have to practice what I preach, because I am honestly my biggest case study out of every client I've ever had. I'm the bloody worst one.
Jealousy is a fuel, though, can I just say? It's not a negative thing. I get jealous. Some of my greatest projects have been born from jealousy, just from like, oh, they're doing that, and I wanted to do that. Well, go and do it then. And then it motivates you to move towards the change and the progression. So use all of the emotions. The only time when any emotion becomes low vibe is when you use that emotion to hurt yourself or to hurt others. Any emotion can be a teacher, and it's just about how you use it and how you move it and process it through your body and energy field to then step forward. So every emotion on God's green earth is high vibe. It's just about how you react to it and what you do with it that then makes the determining factor between it being high or low. Does that make sense?
That is, I'm writing these things down. Look at the state. This is my life. Shitty post-its that are just all over. I've got so many of them. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. I've just got to write that down because I like that. Okay, my darlings, that's the perfect segue to see if we have any questions. And just want to do a quick disclaimer. You feel free, you can write your question in the chat box. If you're comfortable with unmuting yourself, as long as you're okay with your voice being on the podcast episode, we will not be taking it off. You've heard it said there. So if you don't want your voice on, feel free to ask it in the chat. If anyone's feeling bold, remember what I said, this is all about using your voice this episode. So does anyone have a question for Cherub? This is where the awkward moment where we hear crickets. Anyone got a question? Do you think we've said it all, Cherub?
I mean, I could do this for days. There's so much more to say, but how exciting to finally can combine forces like this and bring love and frequency together. Because what's interesting is that what you've said in your book that you've just relayed to everybody, I'm actually confirming it with the law of attraction and what I know from my area of expertise. So we're both literally singing from the same hymn sheet and coming together and backing up what the other one's complete life's work.
Yeah, it's beautiful. This was a divine appointment, my dear. This was a divine appointment. Okay. So, we do have a question here, which is that this is a brilliant question. Where do you get the forks from? So these are the tuning forks. I first saw these being used at our friend Luna's birthday last year in Ibiza. I was like, what is going on here? Can you just talk a bit about the tuning forks? And then we're going to do a demo here. You're going to have to kind of describe what you're doing for those who listen to the podcast later.
All right, I'll give you a quick demo. These are Cherubella branded forks. These are my own forks, UK produced in Sheffield. And I've just chosen a selection of frequencies that I feel are the best ones. There's loads out there, but after 13 years, I've got boxes and boxes of all your key frequencies, all your big names. But really, there's only a small handful that you actually need. And what they do, there's two different types. These are vibroacoustic, the ones with weights on the end, and they sound like a buzzy bee. And you can just pulse them through your ears. You can place them on the... different
parts. You can hear something even without tapping, or do you tap it and then
you tap it and then you basically pulse it around your ears and on your body, and what happens is sound actually travels about 5 times faster through bone than through air. So when you place the tuning forks on your body, these were previously used in things like, you know, music tuning a piano. They were used in science. Around the early 1970s, they were introduced into the sound healing field as a therapeutic tool. And what I love about them is that they are so precise, because you've got a very specific fine-tuned frequency, and then you're applying that directly to the body. So one of my faves, especially on theme for today, this is the frequency of 528 hertz, also known as the love frequency. So you can probably hear that.
Wow.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. Can you put it closer to the microphone?
Close the mic, yeah.
Wow.
So according to an old sort of decoding system, this is the frequency of the heart. It's also been used in labs to regenerate tissue in lab rats. So we're a bit far away from humans yet, but there's a lot. It's definitely a very regenerative frequency. So most days... I will just pulse this around my heart to get me back into the love, love, love.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. I know what my husband's getting for Christmas. Don't tell him.
We love that.
That is an excellent gift. I love it. Mm. Okay, so Susan's asked, can you use the forks on yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Primarily on yourself. Yeah, I use them in gigs as well. But, yeah, I mean, they are for use on yourself. And they're portable, pop them in your pocket. I take them out on the plane. I use them at festivals. It's great because if you could only see what's going on, there's Aladdin's cave of treasure here. We've got 15 gongs over there, djembe drums, everything, you name it. So the tuning forks are the only thing that you can just retune on the go.
Wow. Okay, amazing. Amazing, amazing. I'm loving those forks. Have we got any final questions before? Me and Chad, we really could do this for probably 24 hours straight. Wouldn't even need to come up for air.
But, I think we should.
I think we maybe we'll
love summit.
Yeah, we really should. Just non-stop for hours. But my darlings, we don't want to keep you too much longer. So have we got any final questions before we start to wrap up? Going once, going twice, going thrice. I think we've said everything that they need to hear for today. Before I ask Cherub my final few questions, just a heads up for anyone who is on the live, we have a few spaces over the next couple of days if you want to have a chat with me one-on-one for a complimentary consultation. See where you're at in your love life and if I can help. I'm going to pop a link in the comments in a moment. And by the way, if you're listening in the podcast later, just go to the show notes for this episode and we'll pop that link in there too. So Cherub, this is the home straight questions, I call this, but I want you to think of that episode of Friends where the girls versus the boys over winning the apartment. Do you remember that episode?
Of course, it's the best one.
It's the best one. Sometimes I ask that on these and people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know if we can be friends.
They've missed a whole culture thing
there. Exactly. So do you remember they have the lightning round?
The lightning round, quick fire round, hit me.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, so just answer straight away, quick. Don't think about it too much. First question, what love life advice would you give to your 15-year-old self?
Live freely, love openly, live life in full colour, don't hold back, open the heart, and it's okay for it to break. It doesn't matter, it will heal. That's what hearts do. Just live, love, and be yourself.
That's beautiful. That is amazing. I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, next question. I've just realized I put the wrong link in there. So ignore that link, guys. That's completely wrong and that's not going to take you what you want. I'll just get rid of that. Okay, so next question. What is something that, hold on, I've lost my bloody questions. Here they are.
Not so much a lightning round.
Yeah, I know.
I'm bloody back lightning.
Usually I'm like, I really am good at this, but I've ballsed out this time. Okay, let's get, pretend that didn't happen. What's one thing people may be surprised to know about you?
I love Marvel superhero films.
Interesting. Why? I've never got them myself.
What? Really? Because yeah, it's the most fast blast way to just get all over senses, stimulation, everything with a half pink, half blue ice blast. It's the best thing you can possibly do in the cinema. IMAX, what IMAX is built for. Oh, it's just a complete escapism to another world, and the colours, the costumes, the magical powers. I want to be one. Please let me be a Marvel character one day. Please let me get famous enough to be picked for that.
I think you are. I can believe that you go for half pink and half blue of the what's it called?
Half pink, half blue ice blast.
I believe that.
I'm not promoting sugar consumption, guys. That just comes with a warning there. On your head be it, because it will be major brain freeze for at least half the film. It's so worth it, though.
It's so good. Every now and then, it's absolutely worth it. Okay, so before my final question, Cherub, where can people find out more about your work? What have you got coming up? All of that jazz.
Well, I love making friends. I am completely dedicated to this life of service to others. Because I've had such a beautiful life, all I want to do is help others make their lives more beautiful too. So please become friends with me. I'm on Instagram, Cherubella, with an underscore at the end. You can find me on my website, cherubella.co.uk. I do events all the time, London, singing circles, gigs, sound, all's happening. You can find me online. And I would love to see you in person if I haven't already met you. I know I've got a couple of our friends on the call right now, some of our students, some of our Sister Sound Circle members. So go online, come and find me, message me. I want to be your friend. I'm lovely. I'm such a nice friend. Persia can validate that.
I really can. I'm like, where have you been all my life? You're not going anywhere. You were just not going anywhere. And you've got, yeah, you Instagram's a good place, isn't it? Because you've got all of your stuff on there. You've got something I've seen. I'm just out of interest. Want to know what is going on the 12th of December?
Oh, it's going to be our Christmas festive sound spectacular at St. Cyprian's Church. There's rumours of a couple of high-level opera singers going to be circling the crowd with some festive tones. So it really will be a very magical one. It'll be our last event of the year, which always go down a treat. So please do join.
Well, I'm definitely going to be there. So guys, go and check out Cherub's Instagram. And what I will do is, you've told them. It's at Cherubella with an underscore after it, okay? Or you just go on my Instagram if you can't find it. And I've got her all over the place on my stories at the moment. Okay. All over the place. It's all over the place. And I just want to actually acknowledge what a generous person you are. Cherub did my branding and basically did my work for me because I'm bloody useless. Like, I was like, what a friend, what podcast guest does that for the podcast host? She did the work for me and it was better than I could have done, that's for sure.
I couldn't help it. All your pictures are so colourful and they matched with my pictures. Her book is the same colour as a shoot I did, and I saw them and thought, I'm going to have to turn this into a grid post. It was so on point, both of us together. We were destined to collaborate.
Of course it was. I love it. Okay, right, final question, my darling. This is perfect. We've just come in like literally just an hour. This is like divine timing. What is your number one piece of advice for, this is really the main woman that will listens to my podcast. So the number one piece of advice for any single woman out there who is thriving in her career but is struggling in her love life, what would you tell them?
Open yourself fully to the infinite glories of the universe. It's such an easy thing to hide behind the laptop with the top knot on and blasting away. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think because a lot of us have maybe tried so many times at love and failed that you resign almost to just focusing on your career. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with just choosing to do life solo, accomplishing goals, being productive, making magic, setting things up for future generations, and settling for less than you deserve. And that in itself is a sense of empowerment and independence that I think is so worthy of fighting for, especially if you have a goal and a vision, and if the scale of your ambition is through the roof, as is mine, as is Persia's. But we are here to explore all of it, to feel it all, the rich tapestry of life. And it's time for a new freshness of consciousness to come forward, whereby we're not just slaving away on hustle culture in the doing masculine, focusing so much on the business so that other aspects of our life are out of balance. Know that the universe is designed to work on your behalf. So if you start to look for ways that you are loved by the creator, by the universe, by source, by God, beyond the benefit and the accolade and the acknowledgement and the pride and the fulfillment that you get from your business, if you start to look for other ways, a softer, feminine, more flowing love that can flow through you and to you like rain, you can start to open yourself up, and then you start to see yourself as whole, capable, loved, worthy, deserving. So I invite all leaders who are yearning for that love that they feel is perhaps missing to rebalance them in life, I invite you to see yourself as source sees you. Know that you are enough, know that you are worthy, that you have always been worthy of feeling pure, unconditional love. It is your birthright in the human experience. So go out there and feel it first in yourself, and you will naturally lasso in the purest love of the highest vibration.
Oh my God. I mean, mic drop. Absolute mic drop. And I just, and I really didn't want to speak afterwards, but I realized as you were speaking, it was so poetic and powerful what you said. I see this all the time with women, particularly very successful women, and I hear it. They tell me, well, I can't have both. I can't have the success and the career, which feels very important, especially as women have not had power and control over career or money for very long at all. I can't have that and this great love. And you absolutely bloody well can. I don't even know how we haven't even mentioned your wonderful partner, Oliver, who is an absolute delight and adores you, and like the king to your queen, who just like absolutely, like seeing a man who just looks at his woman and is like, yes, and is there to serve and support and just be just, oh, I was trying to think of a great couple, and I've just gone completely blank on it. But you are a queen in your industry, in your career. You are so powerful, you are so generous, and you absolutely can have a man to support you if that's what you want. And there's no shame if you don't want that, or if you want whatever. But love, it's the expression of love in whatever form that you desire it for yourself. So please don't, you know, as Cherub says, don't tell yourself you don't want it because you don't believe it's possible. That's a different thing for like saying like, I actually don't really want that. I'm good as I am. That's a different thing. So Cherub, I don't want to be the last person to speak because that was an absolute mess after your poetry, but I just felt I needed to just mention Oliver because he's so wonderful.
What you said there was absolutely beautiful, and it's so true. Girls, I'll just say one final thing. Get into your queen frequency, and then you won't tolerate anything less than a king.
That's the mic drop moment. That's what we're going to end on. Thank you so much, Cherub, for being the most incredible guest, the most wonderful friend, such a light in this world. My God, do we need you right now more than ever. Guys, go and connect with Cherub on Instagram. She really will message you back. She really will be your friend, I promise you. And I hope that you have loved this episode as much as I have enjoyed it. And thank you all. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Mwah. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope this episode served you and gave some practical insights and strategies around the next steps in transforming your love life from the inside out. Do come and let me know over on Instagram what resonated for you the most and why. I am @PersiaLawson. And if you want more tips and tools on how to become a vibrational match for the powerful, committed relationship that you deserve, check out my book, Love is Coming, as well as my programs and coaching containers over at PersiaLawson.com. This website is also linked in this episode's show notes. And if you got value from this episode, I'd be so grateful if you'd like, subscribe, share, and or leave a quick review. This helps the podcast rank higher so it can reach other women who want or need the support. And to have your question answered, send it over to podcast@persialawson.com and we'll get to it ASAP. Until next time, I want you to remember that love is coming for you. But in the meantime, it's your responsibility to stop looking outside of yourself for the partner you want to get and start looking inside of yourself for the partner you want to be.